got your Bible, open it up to Luke chapter 18, and it's kind of a bit of a continue on from Wednesday night, from Wednesday night's message, kind of in a way a little bit. But what we're going to talk about and look into tonight is we have to make a conscious decision to follow the Lord. Okay, so we'll have a look here at this guy's response. And then we'll look at other people's responses to Christ. Sounds like a Wednesday night service, doesn't it? People's responses to Christ. But Luke chapter 18, we'll just look at verse 22 downwards. Oh, no, we'll go through the passage in verse 18. We'll read the whole thing. Verse 18, "And a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And Jesus said unto him, 'Why callest thou me good? None is good save one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments: do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honour thy father and thy mother.' And he said, 'All these have I kept from my youth up.' Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, 'Yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me.' And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich." He was very sorrowful. This guy's response was, like what I was saying on Wednesday night, there comes a point in our lives where we need to make a decision to follow the Lord or to reject the Lord. And this guy here, by the looks of things, looks like he's rejected the Lord. Verse 23 says, when he heard this, he was very sorrowful. It was a hard decision to make. And becoming a Christian is a hard decision to make. Following the Lord is a hard decision to make. It's a tough decision. It takes your whole life. You got to weigh that up. That's where it talks about counting the cost. Are you really ready to do this? Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4. We'll go back to Matthew chapter 4, and we have some other people here who made a response to when Christ called them as well. This guy came looking to Christ. This is what I was saying on Wednesday night. He was coming to Christ. He wanted to follow Christ. He said, "What must I do to be saved?" But then when he heard it, he rejected it. And now Jesus is going around here in Matthew chapter 4, verse 17 downwards, verse 18. He'd been in the wilderness. He'd been tempted by the devil. And now he's down here in verse 18. It says, "And Jesus walked by the Sea of Galilee and saw two brethren, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he saith unto them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' And they straightway left their nets and followed him. And going on from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship, with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And immediately they left the ship and their father and followed him." That's a different response, isn't it? That's a total different response. This rich guy came and was very sorrowful, but these four guys here that are recorded here, Simon, Andrew, James, and John, Jesus said, "Follow me." And what did they do? They left what they were doing. They dropped what they were doing and they went and followed the Lord. They followed him, and you read all the way through the Bible and they're still there. They made a conscious decision to follow the Lord. And when we make a decision to follow the Lord, it's not just a one-off decision, it's a continual decision. Because it's a battle, isn't it? And we want to give up and we want to quit following the Lord, but we need to make a conscious decision to follow the Lord like these guys did. Jesus came and said, "Come follow me." And they did. They left their net. They left their dad. And I reckon their dad probably would have been sitting in the boat. Can you imagine it? They're sitting there, they're mending their nets and they're tying knots and they got the string and they're mending the nets, fixing them all up. And Jesus comes walking by and they said, Jesus says, "Hey, come with me." "All right, Dad, we're off. Who am I going to fish with? Oh, man, I just lost like 2/3 of my business partners here. You know, his two kids, it's the family trade. It's the job, the family business." And they left Zebedee there in the ship. And they went and immediately left the ship and their father and followed him. They followed Jesus. They responded to the Lord in a right way. They made a big decision. They made a conscious decision to follow the Lord, to go with him right to the very end. We read through the Bible and we see the issues and the struggles and the things that they had, but they were faithful. And they followed Jesus right to them. We've got the books in the Bible are written by John. You know, John, Revelation, the Gospel of John, the three epistles of John, they're there. And we read them and we've got them because he followed the Lord. He made a decision to follow the Lord. And we also need to make decisions in our life, a conscious decision, a definite decision, not something that we just take lighthearted and leave it for today and not for another day. Let's go look at a couple of verses here, and they're well-known verses in Joshua. Who knows the verse I'm going to in Joshua? I reckon you probably know which one it is. Joshua 24, verse 15. Okay, just so happened to guess that one, didn't he? Joshua chapter 24 and verse 15, and Joshua here makes a conscious decision. He makes a conscious decision to follow the Lord. He's not going to go back on it. Have a look at it, what he says. He doesn't just say what we all know, but the whole verse, let's go back to verse 14. It says, "Now therefore, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in truth." That's a decision. Fear the Lord in sincerity and in truth. That's not half-hearted. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind in sincerity and truth. And put away the gods which your father served on the other side of the flood and in Egypt, and serve ye the Lord. Put these things away. You've read through the Bible, you know, you read through Judges, and what do the people do? What does it say? What's the repeating theme in Judges? And the people did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the people did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the people did evil in the sight of the Lord, and the people did evil in the sight of the Lord. And they kept going back and going back and going back to the old ways. And look what he's saying. He's saying, don't do that. Look in verse 15, it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve." Who are you going to serve? Who are we going to serve today? Who are you going to serve tomorrow? Who are you going to serve next week? Are you going to continue to serve the Lord? Is that what you're going to do? See what it says. Choose you this day whom you will serve, whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you dwell. You know, they were going in, and there's all that idolatry that was going on in there, wasn't it? And you read it says that their wickedness was full up. The cup is full, and God is wiping them out now for their wickedness, and you know what was going on in there. The Bible tells us not to learn the ways of the wicked. So it's good for us not to go too much into what was going on in the land of Canaan before the Hebrews went in there, but you know what was going on. The idolatry that was going on in there, they were anti-God, they were against God, just like the people today. And look at the decision that Joshua has made with his family. "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I don't care what you're going to do, this is what he's saying. Oh, we're going to serve the Lord. And if you know who Joshua is, he was one of the 12 spies that went into Canaan and came back out and said it was good. And everyone said, "No, we can't do it." And he said, "Yes, we can." And he stood up and he was, you know, well, the mob went all against him, didn't he? And that whole generation for 40 years were killed off. And he didn't care what the people thought because he believed the Lord. He said, "We can do this." He said, "Yeah, they're big and they're giants and they've got walled cities and there's a big land and there's big armies and fenced cities and all this stuff. But God said that he will fight for us. We don't have to go in there and knock that building down. God's going to do it for us. He told us. He told us." And then you know what he does? He sends hornets in before them. They march around Jericho. God fought for them. And Joshua comes here and he stands up and he says, look what it says in 15. It says, "Choose you this day whom you will serve." Who will you serve? I'm asking you tonight. I'm asking myself. Who will we serve? "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." That is what I am resolved to do. Okay, you can hold me accountable to this now. You stood up there and preached, and sometimes I don't like getting up here and preaching some things because one day it might come back and you're going to go, "You said," and I'm going to go, "Bah, I messed up. Sorry about that. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." I will endeavor to lead my family into serving the Lord. Not going back, not going out of the way, not giving up and not giving up and going away from the Lord. I'm just trying to think of, I'm getting mixed up here. But to serve the Lord. To serve the Lord. And that's our aim to do as Christians, isn't it? To serve the Lord. And not just for a couple of years, not just for a couple of months, not until things get hard, but for life. And that's what the Lord calls us to do. He calls us to lay down our lives. And there's been many times where I've wanted to take my life back up again. It would be pretty easy to go back to being a Boilermaker again, that's for sure. But, you know, God hasn't called us to do that. I've laid down my life. I've made a decision to serve the Lord. Serve the Lord. If it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve. And what I wanted to say to you guys that got baptized today, who are you going to serve? You've been baptized? Keep that testimony going. Don't give up. Don't go back. Don't go back. We'll have a look at another one. We'll go to 1 Kings chapter 18, another well-known passage there where Elijah challenges the people. Elijah challenges the people. This is years after Joshua, and the kings are no good there, and Israel's in a bad place, and they're gone away from the Lord, and we've got King Ahab and Queen Jezebel, which were some of the most unawesome kings that there ever was. And Elijah, look in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 21, and he's challenging Israel here. Here's a guy, Elijah himself has made this decision. He has made the decision to serve the Lord. He has set himself aside. He's a prophet. God has used him. God has blessed him. He did amazing things throughout his ministry that we can read about. And he has chosen to follow the Lord. He says, everyone else has gone. I'm the only one. I will serve the Lord no matter what. And he challenges all of Israel here in front of the king. Whoa! The king that hates him. The queen that wants to kill him. The king wants to kill him too. Where is this Elijah guy? He troubles the land. You're that guy, the king says to him. And he says, no, you're the one that's troubling the land. Verse 21, and he challenges all of Israel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, how long halt ye between two opinions? How long are you going to stand here for? How long halt ye between two opinions? What are you going to do? You know, you're driving up to a fork in the road. Which way am I going to go? You can't keep doing that. What's going to happen? You'll end up crashing. Okay? You've got to make a decision to go one way or the other. Whichever way you go, it doesn't matter. You can't go both ways. Look at what he says. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. The people answered him not a word. Oh. Pretty convicting, isn't it? I wouldn't answer him either. I'd be... You know, when Elijah confronts these people, he convicts them. It's convicting. It convicts me every time. How long are you going to do this for? How long are you going to stand here in the middle? How long are you going to stand on the fence? You know, the devil owns the fence. How long halt ye between two opinions? If it's God, go with God. And Elijah doesn't say, all of you people get over here and serve God. He says, go and serve Baal. Go for it. Just go and do it. Just choose, make a decision which way you're going to go. Are you going to go for Baal? Or are you going to go for God? And we all face this decision all the time. Like I said, it's not just a one-off decision that we make when we get saved. Once we've decided to follow the Lord, okay, the Lord calls us, we make a decision to follow the Lord. But then after that, this opportunity to keep making this decision comes again and again and again, continuously, just all the time, every day. Just it never ends. It never ends. Okay, weigh it up, young people. If you're going to get saved, it's a battle for your whole life. Okay, and that's counting the cost, isn't it? And the rich man goes, that's too much of a cost. I don't think I can handle that. I'll have to give up too much for God. But, you know, we talk about what the Lord gave up for us. Man, imagine. imagine. Here, let's conduct a little survey. Put your hand up if you want to go to heaven. Okay, if everyone, does everyone who have their hand up, are you saved? Okay, here we go. Let's conduct the, keep your hand up, keep your hand up. Here's the next part of the survey. Okay, who here, once they've gone to heaven, would want to leave? Huh? Keep your hand up. No, you don't want to leave? No one wants to leave heaven. Why not? Too good? Oh, that was like unanimous. And no one wanted to leave heaven. Why not? You know, I wouldn't want to leave heaven either. I think that'd be the worst thing ever. Man, we finally got here, woohoo, and God said, no, go back to earth. You'd be like, what? But you know what? Jesus did what all you guys don't want to do. Whoa. Jesus left heaven to come down to this place. God let some sinful people look after his son. Who would you leave your kids with? We're careful who we leave our kids with, aren't we? If you were the eternal, perfect creator, who would you leave your little tiny baby with? Oh, like, none of these people are good enough. You know, no one is good enough. I wouldn't give my kid to anyone. You know, you think about God. Think about God and who he is. Think about his characteristics. And think about how he cannot tolerate sin. He can't tolerate sin. And he came down and lived in a house with people. 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 Sinful people. Wicked people. I reckon Joseph and Mary probably sinned in front of Jesus. And he had to see that. And Jesus walked on this earth and heard people swearing. And saw people stealing, and saw drunk people, and saw all the debauchery and everything that goes on in the world that we see today. He left heaven to come down to this place. Oh man, that's a big thing, isn't it? And he laid down his life. He said, "These people here are sinful people, and they hate me." And Father, I've left heaven, and we love these people. We love these people. Even though they're sinners, we love these people. And I will die for their sin. You know, they sinned, God. You know, they sinned against you. They sinned against me, and they take our name in vain. And we've done all of this, and they've worshipped, and they've done all of the stuff that they shouldn't have done, and they've gone into sin. But we love these people. We love these people so much that I will pay for their sin. Like, just putting it out there, guys, I'm not sure if I love you enough to pay for your speeding fine. But God loves you so much more than that. Like a speeding fine, that's like nothing. That's how much God loves us. He loves us so much that he came down and lived on this earth. He was tempted by the devil. You read that in Matthew chapter 4. He was tempted in all areas like we are. It wasn't like he was he was fully man. He was fully man. And we can't comprehend God being God and man, but he was. And he was tempted, and he struggled, and he felt pain, and he suffered, and he cried, and he felt hurt, and he felt betrayal, and he suffered these things, and he came down from heaven to do that for us. Oh man, that's just crazy. Like, we all wouldn't want to leave heaven and get sent back to earth, let alone get sent to earth to pay for someone's crime that they've done and to die for us. And he said, these people sin, but we love them so much that he says, Father, I will pay for their sin. Yet the wages of sin is death. Kill me. Don't kill these people. Leave them alone. Leave them alone. I will take it. Leave them alone. I will take it. I'll take their punishment. The worst. I'll get crucified for these people even. Even the death of a cross. The most. Well, that's a bad thing. If you read, not just in the Bible, if you read other books about crucifixion and stuff, it's a brutal thing. It is just nasty. The Romans did it as a public show of shame. They did it because, you know, the Romans would go over and take over a country, and if anyone kind of rebelled against the Romans, they'd make a public show of this person. See what this little guy tried to do? Tried to maybe uprise a bit of an army, something, a little rebellion group against the Romans, or tried to rort their taxes, or some assassination attempt, or some kind of rebellion against the Romans, or something. We'll crucify them and put fear in people's lives. It was fear. They ruled by fear. And Jesus copped that. Wow, that is huge, isn't it? He did that for us. He said, "Don't kill them, Lord. I will do it. And I will pay for their sins. And if they just believe on me, they can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved." Believe on what the Lord's done. That is easy to do, isn't it? It's easy to believe. It's hard to believe. It's hard to live it out. So when we make a decision, Jesus didn't go, "Oh, got to like 15 or something," and then goes, "Oh, this place is too bad, I'm going to get out of here." No, he went right through to the end. He made a decision to redeem us. He made a decision to buy us back. He loves us so much that he did that for us. So when we make a decision for the Lord and then we want to go back on that, hey, that God's not happy with that. It says he has no pleasure in them that draw back, the Bible says. And you're better off to have not known. Whoa, even look at that in 2 Peter chapter 2. Better off to have not known than to know the way and turn back. That is serious stuff. So when we make a decision to follow the Lord, we need to stick it out. We need to keep going. We need to not give up, not go in it for the wrong reasons, like you can read about the guy in Acts chapter 8, Simon the sorcerer. Looked like he was saved for a little while there, and he goes around. You read that? Read that story sometime. Goes around with the disciples, and it looks like he got saved and everything, and then they're laying the high hands on people, and they're receiving the Holy Spirit, and he says, "Give that power to me too," and he wants to buy it off them. Simon, you're in the gall of bitterness. May your money perish with you. Peter rebukes him. No, we need to genuinely follow the Lord, give our lives to the Lord, do everything we can for the Lord, make a decision and stick to it. "As for me in my house, I will serve the Lord. How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him, but if Baal, then follow him." Make a decision. Let's make a decision to go on for the Lord. Let's do it. Let's give our lives to the Lord. If you're not saved, give your lives to the Lord. If you are saved, give your lives to the Lord. And don't quit. And don't give up. And don't go back. And don't, I don't know, I almost said it in pidgin again. No, I'll be speaking in tongues and I'll get into trouble. Anyway. Yeah, so we can't go back. We can't go back on what God tells us to do, on what he's done for us. That's being unfaithful, isn't it? Our God is a jealous God, and that's what we're talking about here, the jealousy of God when we go back into idolatry again. Like, you think about when they were down there worshiping that golden calf, and they said, "This is the God that brought us out of Egypt." Hang on a minute. My kids do to me sometimes. They say, "Some kid taught me this." And I'm like, "Oh, wait a minute. I taught you how to do that. Don't you give him credit for showing you how to do that. I showed you that. Don't you say he did?" You know, and we get jealous. That kind of jealousy. And that's what jealousy, what God is like, that kind of jealousy. "I brought you out of Egypt, not that silly golden calf. You didn't do anything. You stole that gold." You didn't steal that gold. You got that gold off the Egyptians. Follow God. Make a decision to follow the Lord and to stick with it. Let's go back to Matthew chapter 4 where Jesus called these people. We looked at those verses about making a decision to follow the Lord. We've looked at the ruler who came and was sorrowful when Jesus told him what to do. And we have the word of God to tell us what we need to do, how we are to live our lives, how we are to lay down our life, just like Christ laid down his life for us. And look at verse 18, it says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And he said unto them, Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." They're in the middle of work. And they left. And they followed the Lord. And that's what we need to do. And 21, "And going from thence, he saw two other brethren, James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, in a ship with Zebedee, their father, mending their nets, and he called them. And they immediately left the ship and their father and followed him." They left. They followed the Lord, and they were faithful to the end. Hey, we know about Peter. He goes fishing in the end and stuff like this, but hey, he was faithful to the end. He was faithful to the end, and that's what we need to do. That's what we need to be, faithful unto the end, not just drop out partway through, give up, some hard time comes, we stop. No, you need to go through, push through, remember the promises. Remember what the Lord's done for us. Remember what he's given us. And keep trusting the Lord. Keep trusting the Lord to keep us going. Amen. Let's pray. And let's pray this week about making a decision, a continuous decision to follow the Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We just pray that you help us. Lord, we just pray that you work in our hearts, Lord. We are so unfaithful, Lord. We are so forgetful, Lord. And I just pray that you help us to give our lives to you completely and to completely live for you, Lord, and to not give up and not to go back, Lord. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.